cliffcentral.com. Burning Platform is brought to you by Nando's every week, usually on a Thursday. Today on a Friday, we're going to do a quick summary of all the big stories in the news with Justice Malala. Was it hell out there?
It's hell out there. But what's, I'm getting calls from people saying, are you James Bond? My wife calling me, what's going on?
Right.
I mean, there's like 10 messages already. What's going on with you guys?
Well, we should ask
people
you that.
People want to know, Justice, you are very mysterious. And Ben came up with a theory. Ben, do you want to tell him what you think?
Well, I don't know if it's such a theory, though, because to me, it's just blatantly obvious. Justice, you are constantly away at strange times. You're not sure when you're going to go away. You are very composed, which means that maybe you're very good with, like, weapons. And you just, you have a way about you. Look, put it this way. If I needed a high-profile bounty hunter, that kind of person, I reckon Justice would get stuff done, and you wouldn't even know it's done.
It just wouldn't be an issue anymore. Moves.
And that's the response I knew you were going
to
give me.
Yeah, he also wants to
side giggle, dismissal, playful.
He also wants to see your boot, Justice. Ben wants to see the boot of your car.
In case there's a body.
No, I did not say there's going to be bodies in his boot.
No, you just said you want to see the boot.
Do you think he's going to be so sloppy and have a body in his boot? I mean, he's a professional. He's not going to get stopped with that kind of stuff.
Thank you. That's respect.
But if you lift the cover at the bottom of the boot, you might find a box with one of those assemble, you know, those sniper rifles that you put together.
No, that's down the side of the car in the door.
Oh, okay.
Or a blank business card whose details you can only read under specific UV light.
Yeah. Or if you drizzle lemon juice on it.
You know, have you seen it? Have you noticed how as we talk about this, it becomes more believable? Hence my original point is true.
All right, well, let's get into the reason that Justice...
Thank you, Ben.
He's not here for his health. The Burning Platform brought to you by Nando's. Justice, we've got another busy week on the schedule. Will we ever have a quiet week?
No, it's over for us. I mean, people like Mabale, you know, who have to follow the news and, the 7 o'clock bulletin. Wow. Yeah. Oh, it's over. The next 6 months are going to be crazy. Did you see what Gwede Mantashe had to say about... removing Jacob Zuma? He said after December 2017, it's going to become easier to do it because he won't be ANC president anymore. So, seat belts on. It's going to be January 8th, first ANC meeting. Jacob Zuma is no longer the president of the ANC. We'll all be sitting, squatting outside Irene Country Lodge. Who owns that place?
Oh, that's St. George's Hotel.
St. George's Hotel. One of those that two. Place, yeah. Yes. And we'll be waiting. Gwede, is he gone now?
And Gwede, so, what will Gwede say? What does he always say in these situations? He goes,
No.
You see, for the sake of unity of the movement, we decided to not do anything about it. But the political calendar, the news calendar, I think will remain extremely volatile. If you just think about it this month, we're talking about corruption, we're talking about all sorts of other things in the news cycle. But at the end of the month, we'll have to discuss land expropriation without compensation because the ANC is going to its conference and there will be someone from the floor who says, let's talk about removing Section 25 of the Constitution or changing it so that it doesn't guarantee property rights. And so the ANC will begin talking about that on the 30th of June. And it's going to be a big, big story. And that will be yet another one. So lots and lots going on. And lots to talk about.
All right. Well, let's start with Gwede's discussion yesterday. It was yesterday or the day before. He said we mustn't talk about removing the president before December, but after that, it's an open discussion and anyone can join in. How much credibility does Gwede have at the moment? Because he said a few things in the past and then had to retract those statements. It seems to me he's almost he's trying to make it look like he's in control, but is he?
No, he's not. There's two things that are going on, and the first one is that he, for a long time, he's been courted by the two main factions in the ANC. So You'll remember about 4 weeks ago, we spoke about Sihle Zikalala going to visit him. And he was offered the deputy presidency on the Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma ticket. And it's very flattering. The reason why he was offered that is because he's very powerful in the run-up to the elections in December. And that's because he's the Secretary General. So his office is in charge of who gets to go to the conference. Huh. So it could be pro-Jacob Zuma people or pro-Cyril Ramaphosa people. If he's on the ticket that is pro-Jacob Zuma, they're most likely to be pro-Jacob Zuma people. I think he has freed himself almost, given his statements the past 2 days. I think he may either have chosen to go with the Ramaphosa side or to say, I'm done here and I'm going to do the right thing.
If he's gone with the Ramaphosa side, what does that mean?
It may mean that he's been offered the deputy presidency and he said yes. The Ramaphosa side is in a dilemma. They've been flirting with Zweli Mkhize as a potential number two.
Right.
And he'd be very powerful because he'd be able to bring the dissident KwaZulu-Natal vote along with him.
Right.
And so, you know, strategically, if you're thinking about the future, you're Cyril Ramaphosa, there is something in offering it to Zweli Mkhize. And saying to him, perhaps if Ramaphosa wins, then he does one term and Zweli Mkhize takes it after that. Gwede Mantashe has been offered something else that's not in the party structure. So not in the top six, but you will get a big government portfolio, like a ministry in the presidency or something along those lines.
Would that be a nice post for him? I mean, Secretary General is a lot of work and very little glamour.
Yeah, indeed. So you know, it would be a move up for Gwede Mantashe. Remember that Gwede Mantashe, people don't realize, Gwede Mantashe used to be the Secretary General of the NUM. He decided, you know what, I didn't get an education when I was a kid, I was working as a mine worker. And so he decided, he went up to VETS, he signed up, he did a BCom. He graduated about 4 years ago. And I admire that sort of thing. So he's very interested in economics. He's very interested in the way government works, government finances. He probably would make for a pretty decent MP or even minister. And I think that might be what he gets offered.
Who else do we know is likely to be on the Ramaphosa side of things? The big names.
The Ramaphosa ticket keeps on... It floats about. It's not. There's a big debate among the Ramaphosa crowd, and it's that why declare now when you know that if you declare, you will end up with you now have a side, and the rest say, "Oh, there's nothing for me on the Ramaphosa side, so I'm gonna join the Zuma side."
Okay.
So they're keeping their powder dry for, they're saying, perhaps up until August, maybe September, and then they'll begin to emerge. So lots of names keep being bandied about. People like Cebisi Jonas mentioned quite a lot. People like Pravin are mentioned.
Wow.
Cebisi Jonas is certainly being mentioned as a key cog in the Eastern Cape, where he has been mentioned as a potential leader of the province and therefore to bring that province along for Ramaphosa. I think they go to their conference in the next week, I think, 2 weeks. And he might emerge as the leader of the ANC there. So there's a lot going on around that.
Has that faction, the Ramaphosa faction, if we're going to call it that, have they got enough critical mass? Have they got enough people on board? Because we know that the Zuma faction has got, inter alia, most of the current cabinet ministers, and Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma and her not inconsiderable faction, the Women's League, the Youth League, and the veterans.
Yes.
So it looks to me like a 70-30 at the moment.
It still looks like a 70-30. And the key thing for me is that what happens with that whole Mcebisi Jonas leading the Eastern Cape play. If that happens, then Cyril Ramaphosa's faction, as we call it, might have the Western Cape very little number of delegates.
Yeah.
Northern Cape, very small number of delegates. Eastern Cape would be more interesting. Stan Matabat in Limpopo, the premier, has been saying a lot of stuff, and Limpopo might be a Ramaphosa province. So you're beginning to build something there. Gauteng has always been anti-Zuma, but Gauteng is disillusioned with Ramaphosa. They feel like we've taken a lot for you, but you never seem to be there for us. So he needs to, say, I love you too, to them. And he's not doing enough of that.
And then there's the Premier League.
And then there's the Premier League. The Premier League is unmovable. It remains very strong. Mm. You'll remember last weekend there were reports that Supra Mahumapelo fired one of his MECs because they are SACP and on the other side.
Yeah.
And that's how power in some of these provinces is used. That you hold a position and, oh, Gareth, you don't look like one of us. Boom, yeah, you're out. So that's why it's so unmovable. In Mpumalanga, you say Cyril Ramaphosa's name, you're out.
Yeah.
In parts of KwaZulu-Natal, pretty much the same thing. At the moment, Sihlezi Galala is the acting premier. And he makes wide-ranging decisions about who's in and who's out. So a lot of patronage is being used in some of these provinces to essentially keep the Jacob Zuma faction going. And it remains strong. Or shall we call it the Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma faction?
Yeah, correct. Okay, let's look at the opposition party. A very rough week. God has shown his dissatisfaction by sending fires and water. But what's going on in the DA at the moment? I mean, Helen Zille, is she banned? Is she not? What is she banned from? What is the federal committee as opposed to the party superstructure? Who knows? This sounds more complicated than the tripartite alliance
at the moment. It's a case for James Bond.
Right. Are you hinting again?
I don't know where that came from. Helen Zille, you know, the DA is proving to be able to shoot itself in the foot in the most spectacular way. Last weekend, the top structure of the DA, the FedEx Council, had a meeting, and they come out, and Musi Maamane rushes off and says, "We've suspended Helen Zille."
It takes her to government in Cape Town.
Yeah, well, for how long, Helen?
And Helen Zille then fires off and tweets saying, oops, you don't know the rules of your own party.
Hi, my name is Helen Zille, and I'm the leader of the Democratic Alliance.
No, you're not.
and she says, you don't know your own party's rules. They say that you must warn me first that you're going to suspend me so that I can make representation. So quickly, James Self says, oops, sorry, here's a statement. You have 72 hours to respond. She duly does, long document with like 45 pages or 45 points. Saying this is why, this is that, then she gets suspended from party work today. As we speak, she's, walking into a disciplinary, hearing, with her lawyers and the other side, the prosecution from the party.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how it goes. But the consequence is this. Jacob Zuma is on the ropes. The ANC is losing credibility by truckloads a day. This is a time when the opposition should be
cashing in.
They should be cashing in. You look at Julius Malema at his press conference yesterday. You can see he's cashing in. We are going for them. They're staggering, and it's time for the killer punch. What is the DA doing at this pivotal time? It's being distracted by two tweets. They don't have the ability to say, Sia, you know what? Let's go have a coffee. Let's go have a coffee and talk about this and come out with something that says there's a bigger battle to be fought here.
Because and now, so now they lose something. No, no matter what, they're going to lose.
They're going to lose. They're going to this thing is going to. I'm telling you now.
Stupid.
The DA has grown by swallowing up other parties.
Yeah.
So in the 1990s, started flirting with the National Party.
Uh-huh.
Then hops it in the 2000. The ID whom took it over.
That's right.
And bit by bit that.
They tried Hoover, with a hung that didn't
But nearly hoovered it up too. Nearly, I mean, so I think they hoovered it up and spat it out. There wasn't much left to spit out.
Yeah, right.
So, but what you have is that you have a party that's got a lot of conservatism, say from the National Party days, a lot of conservatism from all sorts of bits and bobs picked up along the way. And then you have a lot of liberalism in there, picked up also from the, you know, Democratic Party days and so forth. So it's still a party that has to bond and become one thing.
And we don't really know. I mean, there are a couple of names that we know in the DA, but by no means do we know as much about them as we know about the ANC.
No,
I suppose you could find out if you cared enough.
Yeah.
But, you know, we know the factions. We were just talking about them in the ANC. So we know Musi Maimane.
Mm.
We know James Self. We know Ethel Trollope. We know Helen Ziller. Mm. We know Phumzile Van Dam.
Yeah.
And then after that, it gets a bit hazy.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's bits and bobs of people, you know, Douglas Gibson, Mbali Ntuli.
Oh, okay, yeah, all right.
You know, one or two. And so you're still building this thing. It's fragile. But you can't say, you're having a conversation, the leader of the party, Musi Maimane, and the former leader of the party, Helen Zille, are having a conversation on Twitter. How are you going to resolve serious issues with 140 characters, with, oh, you know, I'm going to tweet Sia, Sia's going to tweet me back, and oops, what are we doing here?
I mean, it makes you think they don't take themselves that seriously, right? This is not how a party who really wants to govern behaves.
This is exactly the same mistake that Helen Ziller and actually you mentioned Ahang, that they made with that measure that it was the kiss.
Ugh.
It was, oh, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. Oh, ooh, ooh, ooh. And then gone.
Oh.
Boom. So we have a real problem here. And the problem is that the DA, is alienating both sides of its new support, structure. So the particularly the black middle class who feel that my pain, over apartheid and so forth.
It's not recognized.
It's not recognized. You have the rump of the DA support, and that is white, older, conservative, electorate feeling that, Helen is being targeted. She, you know, there's no freedom of speech. They want her to be politically correct and so forth. You know that these are the touch points of your organization. Why don't you sit down? Musi Maimane, by the way, Musi Maimane and Helen Ziller used to be one faction. A year ago, they were one faction of the DA.
Exactly.
It's not like these are people who don't talk to each other, who haven't talked to each other. In many ways, many people will tell you that Musi Maimane was elevated in the DA by Helen Ziller. So these two can't settle something that is so settleable
and fundamental to their success going forward, you know?
Exactly. So what you're going to have is that if you look at the public square right now, that the DA's, you know, people are walking around saying, yeah, Musi Maimane and his DA, it's just like the ANC, obsessed with race, obsessed with this and so forth. Others are walking around saying, me, DA, I'd rather vote for Julia. So,
right.
You know, stay at home, and which is the biggest danger, that people just say
they opt out.
Yeah, they opt out. So there's a big problem there. And I think the DA is at the time when it has the greatest opportunity to go from 27% to 35, maybe 40, or, you know, 35 plus the EFF coming in at 10% or 13%. This is a big chance. And Julius Malema was absolutely right yesterday to say this, you're jeopardizing the 2019 project. Because at this rate, the ANC is going to win in 2019, not just because it's an amazing, fantastic, whatever organization, but because the opposition is in disarray. And when it comes to elections, the ANC can run an election.
What do you think of what's going on in the UK? The election results are coming in. It seems the Conservatives have won, but nowhere near the margin that they wanted.
We talk about accountability here. It was interesting when David Cameron lost the Brexit vote last year. He stepped down and said,
That's right. You know, I don't have a mandate.
I don't have a mandate. Theresa May says right now, says 9 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, I need a mandate, a strong mandate that I can go in to the EU and negotiate a tough stance.
It seems the English just don't know what they want.
They don't know what they want.
They want a Brexit, then they don't. Then they want a Brexit, then they don't.
I think the political class doesn't know what the electorate wants. Because Theresa May went in there thinking, you know what? This is going to be a walkover. In fact, we're going to increase our majority, become a huge monolith in the political landscape. And now she can't seem to even to have a clear. I mean, it looks like it's going to be a hung parliament. We'll see when the final result comes in. But essentially, watch this space. She may have to step down in the next few days. I don't know how she's going to survive. Internally, the Conservative Party, they're going to get rid of her 1 year in.
Maybe the best way to get rid of the president is to have a vote about the Saxit. What do you think?
What?
A Saxit. If we just, if we exited, I don't know.
What are we exiting?
Anything. As long as we get out, then gives us a chance to vote. And then if we don't get a mandate, the president has to leave. We'll make it up. Let's leave the AU.
Yeah, I like your cup. I'm going to sex it.
Well, wait. Didn't we want to leave the ICC not too long ago?
Yes,
that was
we
a sex it.
We wanted out of that long ago.
We did.
Speaking of sex it, do we know any more about Dubai? I mean, there's a lot of these emails that are starting to come up now. We do know a little bit about the goings-on inside the Gupta compound. We know about some of the transactions. We know, for example, that Nazim Hawa was busy paying people to do all kinds of things.
Yeah.
All of that racial nonsense last year, it turns out that the whole thing was formulated by Bell Pottinger to distract us because we're so easily distracted.
I tell you, one of the things that we, in the aftermath of all this stuff that we're going to have to talk about is what has been done by the Gupta family, by Jacob Zuma, handing power over to the Gupta family to us as a national project. The idea of the constitution of the 1994 project was that we're building a united, non-racial, non-sexist South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Along comes this family, hires Bell Pottinger, and Bell Pottinger basically invents enemies in South Africa. So Justice and Mabale are black. And you know what? Why they are not successful? It's because it's Gareth Cliff's fault. And so what they did was to start saying, white monopoly capital, Johann Rupert, so-and-so and so-and-so. Instead of saying, these are South Africans who we've all come through a history, we all need to do something about the future. It's them, 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 and us. And so you have this whole debate for a year.
And we all got swept up in it.
And it's being written by a PR firm sitting in London making big cash from the Guptas. And that becomes the national conversation. What has happened to that national project to build a new country with which the world can look at and say, wow, these guys, they've done an amazing thing for humanity. So one of the things we may have to do, Mabale, you might want to write this down and make sure that it happens, is that we have a commission of inquiry, a truth commission, where the Guptas actually have to tell us what they've done to this country. We've taken 10 steps back. in that project. It's terrible, actually. We talk about them and us now. Mm. So now we like, you know, when Idi Amin was in power in Uganda, the one thing he did was to start saying, look at them, and was pointing at Asian Ugandans.
That's right.
They are eating, we are poor. They are this, we are this. Instead of saying, you know what, we've had colonialism, we have a business class that is largely of Indian origin, let's now build this thing. He did a totally different thing, and it was them. And so, one day, it's attack the Asians, every Asian out, you have to leave now. And
I gave them 24 hours, I think.
Yeah. The country.
Everybody who was Indian or Chinese or anything else had to get the hell out of the country.
So you end up with a situation where you create an internal enemy, and Bell Pottinger will always be remembered in this country that they came here and said, we don't care for £1 million or £2 million or however much they were being paid. We are going to destroy the idea of Nelson Mandela that we can build a new country, and we're just going to make these people enemies again and ramp up the racial issues, and they'd succeed.
And for all we know, they might still, not necessarily Bell Pottinger, but the Guptas might still be paying people to tweet, to support their case. To, we know Black First, Land First survived a little while after Bell Pottinger. They probably aren't being funded anymore. I would imagine their usefulness is at an end. What do you think?
Well, I'm actually not convinced that Bell Pottinger is still not working for the Guptas. I think that we are now, they made a big announcement, we're no longer doing this and so forth. I think
it's gone covert.
I think it's gone covert. It's just, you know what, let's not become the story. So we take ourselves out, but we're continuing with whatever. I don't think it's over.
Are the Guptas back in the country though?
The Guptas are in the country. Okay. The Guptas have been, there was a time when the Guptas, left. Mm. You remember Julius Malema, I think it was, there's a reporter, I think called Erika Kruger at BL2, who reported on the ins and outs of the flights. Julius Malema alleged money was being taken out, huge amounts of cash. It's still an interesting story, that about Jacob Zuma and flying to some military installation in Dubai, outside Dubai. But they're back. And they've been doing business. There was a story that they flew out for a holiday last weekend, but they're definitely in South Africa, and they are emboldened enough to believe that they will not be prosecuted for anything, and that they're here to stay. So,
by the way, Carl says a Saxit is when you leave Saxonwold after the Shabin closes.
Wow, very good.
Staggering home.
Yeah. All right, Justice, that's all we have time for. Thank you very, very much for this week's Burning Platform, brought to you by Nando's. You can always catch the podcasts and catch yourself up on all the important news of the week. We'll see you next week.
Thanks so much, guys. Always
thank
a
you.
Pleasure to be here.
Justice Malala.
Do I get some music, some Bond music?
To exit, yes. Yeah, to sax it.
To sax it. Okay, maybe we need some...
While you're sexting, here's your theme music from now on. All right, everybody. If you see Justice Malala wandering around looking dangerous, you know why.
Most likely you won't
leading a double life.
We'll be in the shadows.
All right. Thank you very much, Justice. CliffCentral.com.